These last 6 weeks, we've been doing a sermon series called Gotta Have Heart. And perhaps you caught how gotta worked. That it's full of grit and outlook and travels and tethers and adversaries. Gotta have heart, but not just any heart, a heart like Jesus. And we've been spending time in the Gospel of Luke, which is where we will be visiting again today. If you would turn with me to Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Well, there's the sermon. Oh, how we are quick to ask God for help. How we are quick to point out what's wrong. And sometimes we totally forget to say thank you. Not because we want to be rude, not because we don't think God deserves our thanksgiving, but we simply forget. We get caught up in the moment. Have you ever had that moment? In life, you just are so overwhelmed with excitement that you forget to even address either the immediate question or to say that thank you after a prayer you have prayed for so long is answered. A real life moment that I can think of in this kind of when you just kind of forget is when Corey asked me to marry him. To this day, I still don't know if I ever officially said yes. He was down on his knee. I remember jumping into his arms to give him a big hug, and I remember immediately getting on the phone to call others to share the good news. And I still don't know if I ever said yes in that moment. So I kind of can relate to the 9 who didn't come back. You have to remember that leprosy in the biblical times was awful. It made you an outcast. You weren't barely considered human. You weren't considered alive. Funerals were thrown, and you were there because that was a life sentence. Leprosy still exists today. It's not as, it's pretty rare. And it's not as serious because we have the medicines. We don't even make you quarantine if you were diagnosed with leprosy. Where if you had any skin irritation in the biblical times, you're gone. You are sent away. You don't even get a chance to say goodbye to your family. A funeral is thrown. You don't exist anymore. And that leper is such a derogatory term that they don't even use it anymore because it was calling someone their disease, that they stopped being a person and just were the disease. You have to imagine these infections were not cared for, so the smell and the appearance, they were literally called unclean. And that's why they were not allowed to be around others. And if someone was to touch them, they would be considered defiled and not able to enter the temple because of being unclean. Could you imagine it, every step you took, that people would take three back. And that they're sent away to these areas with people who also have leprosy. And it's not like they were greeting them with thanksgiving or hope or happiness. They were upset to see them, that you are now part of this outcast group where we can't touch, where there's no joy, where these infections and wounds probably hurt and stung and felt hopeless. And here comes Jesus walking. In the distance, they see him and they call out, "Come to us, heal us, help us." How many times do you think they said those words? How many strangers did they call out to and were ignored? Or maybe even somebody said something horrifying to them, that they were not worthy to have a life. They were not worthy to be a person. Here they're suffering and no one wants to stop and help. But Jesus sees them and calls out, "Go to the priest." He doesn't say they're healed. He just tells them to go. What do they have to lose? So these 10 individuals with leprosy start to walk to the priest. And I imagine many of them were limping, depending on where these sores were, how many sores they had. If you've ever had that cut on a foot where you kind of are hobbling and limping. And then imagine as they're limping, literally watching these sores disappear, immediately seeing their bodies be healed. Can you imagine how many times they cried out to God, "Why is this happening to me? Can't you do something?" And that they have this moment of healing, of pain being taken away. Imagine how the limps probably became walking, that became jogging to outright running towards town. And I'm guessing quite a few forgot to even go to the priest at this point. They're so excited, they're gonna go hug their family members, they're gonna go hug their children, they're gonna go say, "Hello, you said I was dead, but here I am alive and well." How exciting that they totally forgot who helped. But you could see how they did, right? How, we don't know how many years they had leprosy. They could have been away from family for decades, been in pain, cried out to God every day, and as they walked, literally watch him disappear. And that they can't wait to go share the good news. Except one. One realized what was happening. That all those prayers they said have came true. And not only did he run back to say Jesus, it wasn't like a, "Hey, thanks," and then been on his way. It was he got right back up to Jesus face to face. And remember, he was a far away when they first called out to him. But he ran all the way face to face to Jesus, and depending on which translation you read, but most of them say that he fell to the feet of Jesus, and then some even say he put his face to the ground because he wanted Jesus to see how thankful he was, that he would cast his entire body in front of him and say, "Thank you." And then Jesus, like sometimes a parent or a teacher or a boss say, "Didn't I heal all 10 of you? Did something go wrong? Because only one's back to say thank you. It was kind of a big deal. I only changed your entire life. But you, because of this, you have been completely healed because of your faith." Now, we don't know exactly what that means. Some hypothesize that the leprosy wasn't fully healed, that they might have had a moment that the wounds and infection have left. Maybe they had a lot of scars. And remember, any skin infection could have been leprosy, so one peak of it would still treat you like an outcast. Others say it's that spiritual part, Because some of you have had illnesses, been diagnosed with the scary of the scaries. And it's always a little bit of baggage you carry. I've had a dear loved one who went through many, many rounds of chemo, still a survivor after 20 years, hallelujah. But she shared with me once, she's like, even if I stub my toe, my first thought is a cancer. Right? Once you've heard the big scary word, any bump, any bruise, any strange mark, any phantom pain can bring you back to that horrible moment when the doctor can tells you. And that can go for any round of illness. We're always, once we know of something, we are so hyper alert about it. That I imagine with the leprosy, how many times they cried out, how many times they had to be on that defensive mode. Oh, you're unclean, you're unworthy. That there's probably always that kind of echo of pain. But this one who came and said thank you wasn't only cleansed on the outside, but also on the inside. That maybe there's no visible scars, and that they remember that holy moment of thanksgiving. Our son was born premature, so anytime someone tells me a NICU story, I'm there, I'm with them. But I have the joyous story of hope I can share, and I'm very well aware not everybody does. But I give it as a story of hope. I get to have that moment, and even though we go back, I get to have thanksgiving in that moment again, that I don't take a day for granted. Because for 44 days, I called a nurse in hope and ready to hear whatever outcome, whatever measurements. That all I cared about were numbers, because that's what we could relate on a phone at those two times of day, to be limited when I could see my son. But some of those parents walked out with scars that can't be healed. This is that moment of holy thanksgiving, to never take any of it for granted. I know that there are cancer survivors. When you hear another warrior who got to ring the bell, that you feel that on a level that I don't quite understand. The joy of, we made it. That is part of the healing that I think was taking place for this man with leprosy. That he has a story to share as a witness to God, to Jesus. God can truly heal you.